Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, and their name is what, DJ?
Cufflinks.com.
That's right, baby. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. Now listen, it's the last day of the year. And you know what you can do on the last day of the year is you can go to cufflinks.com/DVR, use code DVR20, and get 20% off your order, no minimum. Get whatever you want, get 20% off. Then they know that you heard about them from us, and you get the discount. Doesn't that sound amazing on the last day of the year, DJ Tim Hines?
It's definitely the way to round off the year, especially if you're feeling bad. You got a few things to repent for.
Yeah.
Send it our way. Send the love our way.
If you're like me and you found out that there's a sewage leak underneath your house and that's why it smelled like someone farted constantly for 3 days, then maybe if you order something from cufflinks.com, you'll feel better about yourself and you'll be able to elevate your style. And even though you smell like doo-doo at home, when you go outside, you'll have great cufflinks.com stuff. Maybe this didn't work so good for an ad, but let me tell you this, cufflinks.com is the best, baby. Right, DJ?
That's right.
Yeah. Cufflinks.com/DVR. You can get cufflinks. What else?
You can get socks. You can get pocket squares.
Ties.
You can get ties.
Bags.
You can get bags, right. I mean, everything. He asked me what we can get, and he's answering. Like, he loves this stuff so much.
Yep, you got
to
do it,
baby. You know, it gets us excited. It's nice to have a quality product that we can get behind that sponsors us.
And we're going into the new year with Cufflinks, and I'm super excited. It's a great company, and they're great people. And we want to wish them a happy new year and you a happy new year as well. So let's get on with the show. Today is Monday, December 31st, the last day of 2018, and this is Daily DVR. What's up, everybody? Letting you listen to the music a little bit there. It's me, Axel, and on the other line is DJ Timothy Hines. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I'm happy to be invited on the last day of the year for what's turning out to be quite a good year on the DVR podcast network front.
Yeah, dude, it has been. It has been. And I don't know. I don't always think about that stuff like best lists, and I'm not so great at it, but
that's Heath's department.
Yeah, that's Heath's department. But it's been a great year for us. We started this podcast. I mean, Westworld, Winterfell. We had a Winterfell, or was that the year before? I don't even remember.
No, that was this year.
That was this year.
Right after Game of Thrones ended, you kind of pumped up the network, right? And that was right after the new year kicked off.
Oh, that's right, dude. Crazy, man. So it's like, it has been quite a year. We've probably done hundreds of podcasts. And I want to thank everybody who's listened, the patrons, anybody. You know, you do a retweet, you say you liked it, you even just listening, that's not nothing. That's taking your time, and we appreciate your time and energy. We appreciate it right now. That's something I do think about a lot, which is that someone actually makes that choice. Oh, let me listen to that guy talk. You know, that I think about that a lot, and I appreciate that. This is a great year. I appreciate DJ coming in recently and helping push me through some of these pods. I just feel like it's good to talk to somebody on these holidays. I don't want to be on the pod doing it by myself. I like to have DJ on. I had a good Christmas. Are you doing anything special tonight for New Year's Eve, pal?
I'm going to keep it low-key.
Yeah.
Usually my mantra is, if nobody's paying me top dollar to come play, then I'm going to just keep it low-key, see some family, see some friends. And, you know, this one I'm going to spend with a friend whose son is ill, and hopefully I can bring him some joy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I was going to share that article about your friend on the Facebook page, but I didn't because I wanted you to do it, DJ, because I don't, you know, like, you're close to it, you know? So that's up to you if you want to share it.
I'll put that out there now that, you know, we're talking about it a little bit, and appreciate that.
Well, I think that that's good because what he's going through is something that, you know, with myself as a father or just as human beings, you don't have to be a dad, a brother, sister, whatever. It's just, it reminds you that you need to be appreciative of what you have. And even if it's not the best, and even if it's not what you want, there's a lot of people who don't have a choice. And when
that's
you,
right.
you know, that it's good.
So those little moments when he smiles and laughs and giggles and I do some silly stuff and it's worth it, you know, because I know every moment's precious. So, you know, maybe he doesn't know that, but the knowing that he's enjoying those moments is what counts.
Yes, that is awesome. Well, we appreciate you sharing that with us. And head over to the Facebook page because actually my cousin, Eileen, and I don't think some people know, realize that Eileen's my cousin. She has been commenting, going on a whirl, commenting about our Christmas episode. And there was a great discussion. And she like broke down a couple of different of her favorite films and talked about some stuff. So I can't even approach the idea of reading it all because it was like a dissertation of awesomeness. So head over to our Facebook page and check out the post for our episode that DJ and I did on the 24th, where we talked about our favorite Christmas movies. So I want to give a shout out to Eileen, and she's a sweetheart. And we got, I think that she said there's 25 of us that are related through the Foleys. So that's my dad. Obviously, we did take the dude's name. And so there's 25 cousins there of different last names and such, but all coming from my grandparents, Mammy and Papa.
What's real cool is that, you know, sometimes the people who are into podcasts aren't particularly the friends we chill with or grew up with. And like some of us who don't listen to, well, not some of us, but some people who don't listen to podcasts thinks it's like kind of weird and don't know it. But we've been doing this so long that like where our people like know what's up. So it's kind of cool when a family member comes in and gives it a shot. Yes,
dude, it totally is. I think it's all, I knew that she has a great knowledge of TV and film and pop culture. And, you know, whenever we speak, she's always dropping the references and I'm picking up on them. And she has a wide years too. She knows a lot from now until then, as they say. And, it's been fun, man. Her comments, she just posts them as I feel like reposting them so people get to read them, but go over join. It's an impetus for you all to go join our Facebook page, even though people are jumping off Facebook. I actually think Facebook can be pretty good for like these little kind of fun media type groups. It works that way. And I do less of like the personal posts and stuff just because, you know, they tend to share your data and things of that nature. I don't know if you heard about that, DJ.
Yeah, it's already bad enough. Nielsen knows what we're watching. But hey, so real quick, since Eileen's your cousin, you'd know this. Does she have one leg that's a little bit shorter than the other?
Oh my God.
No, you're supposed to follow up with, come on, Eileen.
Oh, that would have been good. I almost said, I missed it. I am sorry, DJ. I alley-ooped
you, bro. It's all right. We'll get it together.
I'm slow on the uptake, dude. Seriously, the finding out about the little sewage leak there, I was slow on the uptake. So we'll get that fixed.
I hope sewage.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't affect the podcast. I'll keep everybody up to date because they actually – so long story short, we had a smell in the house. I woke up last night at like 2 a.m. It had been going on for like a couple days, and I thought there's just a dead animal underneath the house. You know, it was cold and there was a huge rainfall for like 2 days here in Portland. So I thought something kind of got washed underneath the house in the crawl space. And then I just got scared at like 2 a.m. I started thinking to myself, could this be a gas leak? Does gas smell like that? Then I'm looking on the internet, and of course, there's all these stories on the internet. I thought it was a dead animal, and then my house exploded, and everybody died. So I'm like waking up my wife and freaking out, and then the landlord, or I should say the property management we rent here, the property management people sent someone over right away, and the guy was like, nah, what you have is an old pipe that's leaking like, you know, doo-doo onto the ground. So we got to get that fixed, and it's going to take them a couple days. And the only way they can enter is through the closet in the office where I do the podcasting from, where I set up all my stuff. So I might have to go mobile again or something, but I might not actually be able to do it if they're making pipes, or we'll have to we'll figure something out. We won't let doo-doo get in the way of the podcast, DJ.
That's right. No shit holds us down.
No, sir. All right. Well, we do have some stuff today. I do want to also give a shout out to Keep It Rolling with the family, that today is my sister's birthday. So shout out to my sister, Amy. Amy Jane is, I don't know how old she is. Wait, I'm 44.
You're just not supposed to tell, bro. Happy birthday, Amy.
She doesn't care. Okay, whatever. Happy birthday. I love you. Her birthday, she always gets the shaft because she was born on New Year's Eve. So everybody always forgets about her birthday, but I did send her a card and a little gift, and I hope she opens it and I hope she likes it. So we covered my family so far. This is a good kind of holiday episode. You want to shout out to your family at all, DJ?
Shout out, family.
All right, shout out to DJ's family.
They don't listen. I mean, if they did, like, it would be cool.
I know.
I'd rather shout out our fans. They support, and then they like what we talk about.
Come back. Yeah. It's not fans. It's listeners. It's co-hosts.
Well, pals. It's not like fans. Celebrity.
I feel
fans.
Weird when I see that people on
subscribers,
YouTube.
Subscribers, should we call them? Like, I think that's a little.
No, I just say listeners or people or friends. That's the way I think about it. Because
me
like,
too, but like yeah. I don't know how to call them. Like, like pals. Know, hey pals. Pals.
Hey buddies.
Who download and subscribe?
No, it's like part of the crew. I always say the crew. Because then that just includes everybody. But speaking of that, Gina, great to hear from Gina. Scott and Brett, and of course it's great to hear from Scott and Brett, but it's been a while with Gina. And I'm glad that she's kind of getting back in the game. I hope we're going to be hearing from her more often. She sent me her list. I got Scott's list. And I got Brett's list, and Brett sent mostly films, which I thought was good and reminded me that I got to open it up because I just said TV. I was just thinking TV, but I like to hear everyone's films. And then all of a sudden I realized too, I thought I hadn't seen a lot of films this year, and I realized that I've seen so many of these movies. I guess I have seen a lot, so I'll probably have a top 10 for films too. But email dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Your top 10 anything. Even I said also maybe like DJ's remixes, like top 10 DJ remixes.
Well, see, DJ? When you put up the post originally, it just said best of 2018. So I started thinking of all entertainment when I made my list.
Oh, okay. That's good. Good. I like that. I should have said that. You're absolutely
This is going
right.
to be for Tuesday, right?
Wednesday. Wednesday. Not tomorrow.
Excellent.
On Wednesday, Heath Sinolo, the bastard podcastered, we're both going to do this podcast together. We're going to go over the best lists. It's probably going to be a long one. We're going to have some fun. So thanks, Gina, Scott, and Brett. And I want some more. Send in some more lists, peoples. Let's see. I talked about my sister. The next thing we got is I wanted to talk a little bit about Bandersnatch. Did you get a chance to just try it, DJ, for a little bit?
No, you told me to try it. And the way you described it, I hadn't heard about it till you started talking about it on the show the other day. And sounds really interesting, but it seems like something I'm going to want to pay attention to. So I didn't want to just give it a shot and then like come to like one point, choosing point and then stop or how it goes. So,
well, it's about
it.
You could do that if you just want to. It's really the same thing. That's what I wanted to talk about is. So I tried out this Bandersnatch. First, I tried it on my Vizio TV and it wasn't good enough. So I caught a cool little video. Then I fired up the X-Bone. And that worked great, and it gives you a little explanation, and then I started watching it. And it is like a choose-your-own-adventure thing. It alerts you that there's going to be a choice by rumbling your controller. I would suggest watching it on a video game. I don't know how they alert you if you watch it online, or maybe I'll try it on an iPad or something. Maybe it does a little ding or something, but it was cool through the video game controller that it rumbles. It like goes, and then the question comes up. So it actually gives you a few more seconds to answer it because it is a timed response. So just like in a lot of other games, I think like The Witcher, Mass Effect, I'm thinking, I guess the Telltale games too, there's a line, you know, there's a white line above where it says like, you're, it's like, so somebody asks a question, what do you want for breakfast, Wheaties or Fruit Loops? And it, and then on the screen on the bottom, there's a lower third and there's like black. And then in white, it kind of comes up from the bottom slowly and nicely. Doesn't affect the main screen. It just covers whatever's on the bottom. So they have to actually shoot for that as well. And then it says in white, Fruit Loops or Wheaties, you know? And then you can highlight either one, but as you're doing it, the white line starts coming together and getting smaller and smaller and smaller until
so your chance to pick is
yes.
dwindling.
So you have about 10 seconds, maybe 15, to answer the question, or it will revert. This is the interesting part. It will revert to where the default is. So it so you could basically what I'm trying to say is, my point when I set out with Bandersnatch is, okay, you're going to make a choose your own adventure. You're Black Mirror. I'm going to try to mess with this immediately. Like the first thing I'm going to try to do is screw this up and try to see how you make me make a choice, right? Because Black Mirror is all about the experience. And I don't have much to say about the movie itself. I didn't finish it, but I can say that I watched the first like 10 to 20 minutes maybe, and I made a bunch of different choices. Some choices don't matter. Some choices do. And you're forced to make them. Literally, if you make the choice, the movie kind of ends and it goes to a screen and it makes you choose again. And it says, choose again. And then you have to click it. And then you go back to the beginning of that sequence. You come to the decision again. And what do you think I did, DJ?
You let it play it on its own.
No, I kept on choosing the wrong choice. And I did it 6 times, over and over and over again. I chose the wrong choice that ended the movie.
It doesn't keep splintering? Even if you choose
no,
it,
no,
it won't
listen.
Like go back to the original?
Okay, you're getting confused now. I'll explain it slow for the overstoned.
No, I'm thinking it like you choose your own adventure book.
Yes, listen. Some choices don't matter, and you make the choice, and the plot moves regardless of what choice you made. Some choices, you have to make the choice, or the movie ends. So in the choice, and this happens soon into it, that's what's interesting about it. You come to a point where you're given a choice and you can either, I won't say what it is, you can either accept or you can decline. And I accepted. And then the movie ended and it basically said, like, it ended. It went to a screen where it said, please choose again. And I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. Like, I
so
had
choice
to
made no sense. No, there was no point in that choice.
There was no, yes, that's what I'm trying to say. They were pushing you. It was, that's what I found to be interesting. And people, I don't think this is a spoiler for it. I'm not telling you what it is. And it happens so soon into it that it forces you to choose deny. You have to. And that's the default too. So the choice after that didn't matter. I chose to go left or right or whatever. And maybe the video was different, but it didn't tell me you made the wrong choice. So very early on, I made the wrong choice. So I went back and I kept on making the wrong choice over and over and over again to see if after a certain point, it would say something to me or a video would pop up and somebody would like say, man, you're really a masochist. Why do you keep on choosing this?
So, you know? And you're the same guy that doesn't like waiting for the credit scenes in like Marvel movies.
No, what do you mean doesn't like waiting for them?
You don't like those. What do they call those? Stingers?
No, trains? But I don't like them because I think they're overused. It doesn't have anything to do with waiting for them.
Okay.
The point was, is that you would think that an experience like this would
be crafty.
Yes, exactly. Or would be meta. I am sitting at my house. I have never done this before. I have a remote control in my hand the entire time I'm watching this. This is not normal. Of course I'm going to screw with it. Of course I'm going to keep on making the choice that bugs the system or defaults it. I'm just disappointed that they didn't, that Black Mirror, the pessimistic, you know, technology is killing, blah, 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 is not going to do anything about me being like a troll the first chance I get.
So do it one more time. Maybe
I'm going to try it, dude. That's what I'm saying. Is like, I literally only want to watch this thing to mess with it.
It's going to say, sorry, we canceled your account.
See, that's fun. That's what I'm saying. Like if I had done
like it, Mr. Robot type stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I did it six times. Now you'd think after the fourth or fifth time, maybe I have to do it 10 times until, like I'm saying, a video comes up that says, do you even want to watch this movie? Like, I'm just saying, this is my only commentary so far. I'm going to go forward in it and I'll come back. And for people out there who watch it or experience it, because you're not really watching, you have to be ready to answer something, you know? I'm interested to see if you find any little quirks in it or anything like that. I was just surprised that it acted like that. I thought it would have, and I was surprised that so soon into it, there was a choice that you have to make. Like, you're not given any, the story just ends.
Maybe it came down to how you always complain about, like, when 3D jumped off and everybody had to do 3D, even though it was useless. Maybe they're kind of just putting extra in because Netflix said, hey, if you're going to do this, we got to, like, sell how this thing works in some sort of way.
No,
and maybe, dude, like, the next one will be fine-tuned a little better.
Oh, well, I mean, if you read the article, the Hollywood Reporter article, I talked about this, last episode, called Black Mirror Interactive Film Inside the 2-Year Journey of Bandersnatch. There was a lot put into this. That's what surprised me. They did think about it. There's even like a hidden game inside of it. You can access a video game at some point if you make a choice in the story, it allows you to actually play a game. So there is a lot of thinking into it. So I just want to see let's talk about it again, DJ. I think you have to experience it. So go ahead and do that. Give it a shot. Tell us what you think. And if anyone else does, tell us on the Facebook page or email or whatever, because I'm just interested. I was just surprised. I thought it would be, I think it's an awesome idea. I'm actually really excited by it. I think it can be a new kind of experience, you know?
Absolutely. And my whole thing is, I hope that, like, they all don't come to the same ending, like just different ways to get to the same ending.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would like it if there was like three endings.
There,
like,
are. There's a plethora of endings for
that's
this.
That's cool. I like that.
All right, DJ. Well, let's just take a quick break here for a little ad from our friends at cufflinks.com. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR. You can still use code SWGIFTS for the remainder of the day. We're releasing the pod a little late, but you can do that for about 5 more hours. So I did want to say goodbye to Star Wars Month. That has been a blast, and all the people who came on for Star Wars Month. It's been great. Cufflinks.com is awesome. They've got so much great stuff that I can find content around, and we can kind of work together on it. It's really awesome experience to have them on the podcast. So go out and support the podcast and support cufflinks.com. They're good people over at cufflinks.com/DVR. You can use code DVR20, get 20% off your order. No minimum. So you can get whatever you want over there. cufflinks.com/DVR. DVR20 is the code. They've got all types of stuff, like we've been talking about, ties, pocket squares, bags, totes, pens, cufflinks, of course. They've got it all, and it's all really super fantastic stuff that you can elevate your style or you can geek out. Either one that you want to do. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Use code DVR20. And thank them for making this a great year, coming in and sponsoring the show. And we hope you use the code to show them that you heard about them here. So let's get back to the show, DJ. All right, so DJ had brought to my attention that I had never gone back and talked about Andy's email about homecoming. And then I had said I was going to talk about it with Heath, but I don't think we're going to have time to do that on tomorrow's show. or Wednesday's show. So we're going to talk about it now because DJ watched Homecoming too. And what is just generally, how did you feel about Homecoming generally?
Extremely excited.
All right. I like it. Let's see what Andy had to say. I didn't know what to expect going into this. I hadn't seen any Mr. Robot. Watch Mr. Robot. So I was really only familiar with S-Mail by name only. The first thing I noticed about this was the music. I'm a huge fan of soundtracks and scores. Right away, the music sounded familiar. During one episode, I remember thinking to myself, wow, that sounds a lot like John Carpenter. I also heard a few notes from All the President's Men and what I thought was Vertigo, two of my all-time favorite movies. Then in one of the last episodes, S-Mail basically recreates a shot from All the President's Men. I thought to myself, what is going on here? That's when I looked it up. I remembered a long time ago hearing about a series that was going to be done using scores from other movies. I'm sure it didn't register because this show wasn't on my radar until recently. Turns out that was John Carpenter, and that was the score from All the President's Men, Vertigo, Carrie, and many others. I love this choice by S-Mail. I didn't even know that.
Dude,
that's awesome, Andy.
When I read that, I was blown away.
Yeah,
because
I did not even know that.
Is so Sam S-Mail. From what we've seen with Mr. Robot and the little dribs and drabs with, you know, that was computer related. So he had all types of computer code and hackable stuff. And if you were like really, really into it, you could find all this stuff online. Like, it was hard for an average person to find. So like the fact that he does this to me, like, I want to go back and watch those scenes and see how that affects the story. Like, yeah, that, cause it's placed on purpose, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. Of course. Andy, I'm so glad you said this. I read a bunch of different articles and I did not know this at all. And I think it's awesome. It evoked those to me, but I didn't know he literally used the scores. I think that's such a cool idea. And when you think about it, how has it not been done before? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder, has this been done before? I think this is fantastic, man. This was a great bit of knowledge there on it. So Andy continues, the cast was all brilliant. I'm a fan of Julia Roberts. When she picks interesting projects, this definitely qualifies. This is the best she has been in a very long time. I agree. I thought she was fantastic in this.
My third. The motion passes.
I mean, I'm just used to her being in a lot of kind of okay things, you know?
And then a two rom-coms here and there.
Yeah, not really pushing herself.
A sappy project and then a serious project. You know, it's like she has her ebbs and flows, but that just shows she's so versatile. She fits, like, somebody likes her for something she's done in every genre.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people, like, don't like her in the style of a role, but some people love her in the romance stuff.
Well, you know what, DJ, I've told this story before, I think on the podcast, but I'll tell it again. One day I was leaving my ex-girlfriend's apartment. Where did she live? On 31st and something. It was like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember why. I was doing something very early in Jersey City. And I'm walking down the street, and it was just like a movie. Like, the steam was coming up the vents. You know what I'm saying? Just like they do in, you've seen it.
And people who've seen the movies, they know.
Yeah, if you're in the morning, it really looks like that. And the sun coming in, that's why people try to mimic that shot, because that's really what New York can look like. And it was a cobblestone street. I don't remember where the hell it was, in the low avenues. And I see this woman coming towards me. And I think, wow, it's pretty early. And then as she gets closer, I say to myself, wow, this woman is gorgeous. Oh my God. Like, I wasn't like, oh wow, she's so hot. I was like taken aback, like just her presence. You know what I'm saying, dude? And you know, you get that a lot in New York too, because you see a lot of like models and people or whatever, or just people who kind of act like that. You know what I'm
talking
about.
People who just emit power.
Yes, emit something. And as I get closer, I realize it's Julia Roberts, and she's walking by herself at six or something in the morning, down the street in Manhattan, and this was 1999. And I was just, I didn't say anything. We just locked eyes for a second. She smiled. I just nodded my head, kept on walking down the street. So I got smiled at by Julia Roberts. And let me tell you something. I always say that there's a reason why people get cast. And when you're watching a film, it's important to remember that, yes, people are cast on film, but people are also cast in a room, and they're cast because of who they are in real life. And Julia Roberts in real life has a presence, man. Like, I'm telling you, I didn't know it was her as she was walking towards me. And then when I noticed it was her, I was like, wow, there's a few people that I've met. Because I've met, you live there, you know, you run, you walk by a lot of famous people, whatever. Sometimes you don't even notice who the hell they are. You know what I mean? Like,
just, you know, people just chilling with their head down. Yeah, exactly. Hat on, you know, or,
and there's,
you know,
no presence. And then when you notice, you're just like, oh, okay, cool. That's what's his name from that movie, you know?
Or, yeah, I've never in my life been one of those people who have asked for autographs or pictures or something. At most, like, you know, I've said hello, commented on some of their work and whatnot, but, you know, and gave praise and moved along. No,
you don't do that in New York, dude. Maybe in LA people do that. You don't do that in New York. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You don't do it. You got to respect the person just living their life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you say what's up. If they say what's up back, then you engage. If not, like,
yeah, you might give a head nod or something like that. But the people who go over and like, I have to talk to you. That's really, I think, I mean, whatever. People are famous and it comes with the territory. They should expect that, of course. I'm just not a person who would really do that unless it was in the situation where they've signed up for that. You know what I mean?
Like Comic-Con. Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Exactly. If it's an event, then I feel, okay, they know that I'm going to, they're prepared. They're not just living their life.
Right. You know outside of a Broadway show when they come out and greet the cat, you know, the cast comes out and says hello.
So I've never gone up to somebody that I've seen, and I've seen super famous people. Of course, I've never gone up to any of them.
That's it. Which are just people.
They got up to me when I worked at World of Video. They'd come up to me. I didn't say hi to Tarantino. I was standing there and he walked up to me. I was like, hey, do you know where this is or whatever? I was like, yeah, come over here. And then, I said to him, I love your work. And he said, oh, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Those types of situations. It's, you know,
but I didn't ask for a selfie. Why do people do? I've never understood the selfie. I guess the picture is kind of funny. I kind of get the voicemail message. People like people to do that, like leave me a voicemail or something like that. But this autograph, I've never been into. I don't know. I've never really understood.
Yeah, the autograph books when we were kids, people used to like, and they were just like,
is that still a thing?
I'll go to Mickey Mouse. I'll go to Disneyland and get all the characters.
Well,
autographed.
That's different, dude. That's
no,
cute.
But like, I mean, it starts with that. And then all of a sudden they think that everybody's a character in life.
Oh man, DJ.
I was never into that. I always thought it was weird. Like, I'm looking at this fuzzy suit and I'm like, why are you signing this kid's book? I don't know. It makes sense to me.
Oh man.
Sorry, Craig, please
Pop
go ahead.
Psychology by DJ Tim Hines. Don't let your kid get Donald Duck's autograph.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's, you know, I'm not against it. I just think it's kind of bizarre.
You're hilarious. All right, that's our digression. I never was into autographs. But that's a different time, though. And the more I think about it, the more I think it represented something differently to a different generation. And that's it. Actually more interesting to me. I kind of realize, oh, that wasn't our generation's thing. It was kind of, we were kind of in between, you know? I mean, these days people just get a selfie, right? That's what everybody gets, right? And I can understand that because you're in the picture. You're like,
or they just tape the person until they do something stupid and try to make money off it. But that's true. Let's get back to the show.
All right. Where Julia Roberts was fantastic. And Andy, she needs to challenge herself more. She became, I mean, it's just like all these big people. They think they're challenging themselves, but they're not really challenging themselves. You know what I mean? And this, it was a challenge. I mean, I thought that she was fantastic. Stefan, I think I'm going to keep on calling him that if someone corrects me. Stefan James was fantastic. I hope we continue to see a lot more of him. And we will, because actually he stars in the new Barry Jenkins Beale Street movie that's coming out and getting great reviews, and he stars in that. Shea Wingham, as great as always. That guy is...
He's also in Shots Fired. Oh. I don't know if that's still on, but I know that was on TV.
Shots Fired. What Shots Fired?
It was, I think it was on Fox.
Really?
My girl used to watch it.
Who was on it?
He was.
Who?
Stephen James.
Oh, okay, because I mentioned Shea Wingham. Okay, Stephen... Oh, he was. Well, yeah, man, these people
He was in a lot of stuff. He was in the movie about the LaSalle football record.
You're right. Yeah. But he wasn't. He's been acting since 2010. When I looked him up on that episode, I saw. So 8 years is a long time. That is,
it goes by fast.
He's a
Look
young
at this.
Guy.
He's almost 19.
I know.
Almost 9 years.
I know. In like 8 hours it's going to be. This is a late podcast we're doing.
In the UK, but, it's already an hour to midnight.
I know. Hey. Tarek, Gareth, Happy
Cute
New
Poison.
Year. What?
Cute Poison.
Cute Poison. Happy New Year. I thought you said, can you pause it?
No.
I thought you said, can you poison? Can you pause it? All right. He was great. Shea Wingham, great as always. And he is, God, that guy is amazing. He pops up in everything. And every time I see him, I'm like, yes. He was fantastic in Waco. He is always great, and he is headed for definitely, he's been around long enough now that he should be getting Oscars, multiple Oscars. This guy's fantastic.
I agree. He's one of those guys that used to get like bit roles, but like,
yes.
I feel like he's.
Well, I think Boardwalk Empire kind of elevated his career. And I think that was really kind of like, set him apart, and people gave him more attention.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, he's great in this
too.
Great
in everything. So let's see. But Andy continues. My favorite performance though was Bobby Cannavale. For me, he is always one of the guys that doesn't quite work in most of what I've seen from him. I agree. It's obvious he has major talent. I've just always thought he was a little miscast. I felt that all he needs is the right role for me to love him. That was this role. I loved him in this. I agree. This was really a complex role because he wasn't just a heavy, right? He was a middleman, and you got to see the way that he was both enacting his power, but having other people force him into corners.
That's right.
So
he was a fake thug.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you tell me? What did you think? Cause I want you to talk a little bit about your experience with this too. What did you think about that role there and how it progressed? Cause I thought it got deeper and deeper. And initially the part where he had a relationship, and this is going to be spoilers, by the way, if we haven't told you already for Homecoming, if he, initially when he had the relationship with Julia Roberts, my wife and I were both kind of like, what's this about? But then later I thought that was actually a good part of the story.
Yeah. He's all in company, man. He was at, you saw so many different levels of where he was at through the rise, through the trying to gain respect. Everybody wanted to get out to the CEO's house, and that was the big deal. And who knows if he's even real? Everybody just talked about him like smoke and mirrors. So he bought in. So he would do whatever it took, whatever they asked, and covered up anything. And you could see a little bit of conflict in him. And he let his home life go. And he just completely got so power hungry for false power. And it was wild because that part where he starts, when he finds Julia Roberts and he sees that she doesn't remember, and he's like, shit, like, this is fucked up. Like, he has a moment of like thinking about, is it right or wrong? And then bam, it's like, nah, that shit's over. Like, he kills the good angel on his shoulder and he just jumps back to the devil. And he right away, and he was phenomenal in this. My only hang up, and this ties into having seen Mr. Robot, is he's the same exact character to me as Mr. Robot. Like, he didn't change at all that much. So it was hard to distance that character, mm-hmm. especially knowing the filming style, everything fit with Sam Esmail, who I want to talk about it a little later, but we're on Carnivale right now. And I mean, I loved him. I can't say it was bad. It just was a little redundant, let's say, coming from being so involved with Mr. Robot.
Yes. Okay. I can see your point there. I can definitely see your point with the comparison between the two shows. But for me, I don't know. I was just so into the world that it wasn't, I mean, it could be confusing. You're right. You know what I mean? Cause like he has set up, you know, this show is very, very much like Mr. Robot
on basically a fixer in both shows.
Yeah. It's so on so many different levels. It's Mr. Robot. And he's dealing with that same conspiracy, that same unnamed higher up. Just like when we're talking about Westworld, and I talk about how the Nolans love to use these code words and little MacGuffins and talk about, and always kind of, there's always a different level. Like you think you know who the boss is, but then you realize that they were not ever the boss at all. It was really someone else. And there's a lot of that in this show. There's more so of it in Mr. Robot. I feel like this is what I feel like. I feel like Mr. Robot is the story of just that corporation, right? And what he's telling us on this side is more so the story that I think he had hoped to tell more in Mr. Robot, which was how these unnamed multinational billionaire entities, gazillionaire, whatever, entities, corporations affect our regular lives, you know, and our memories and our ideas of self and who we are and what we value.
Right. It hits, you know, you kind of see marketing a little bit in this where they're pitching it to the military and they know that that's where they'll get the big money. And then once it's fine tuned and the military's done with it, they can pitch it on the regular market. And, you know, you could see that corporate side of it and then you shift into like within minutes, like they don't last long in each like stage of the show. So you get like pumped up. And then boom, they go right to like the session with Julia Roberts.
Well, that's why I think it was in many ways more effective than Mr. Robot.
Yes, because the tension, even though it was slow and quiet a lot, the tension was ratcheted up.
And you saw more emotions. You know, you get to see how
the effects,
the actual real world effects and dealing with very vulnerable people, these ex-soldiers. And using the idea of having them be soldiers with PTSD and really concentrating more on them is an entry point for a very wide audience who would be open to being empathetic to those people. Mainly the old both sides of the aisle, right? Like anyone is sympathetic to that. You know, it doesn't matter whether you are whatever Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, you're sympathetic to someone who tried to help you and in the way they thought and is crippled by the experience, you know, which is so we all know that this is so common. So I thought that was really I thought he really found a way to bring out emotion in this show and to swing it back to what we started with, which is Bobby Cannavale. He was able to do that more so I feel with this character than the Mr. Robot character. And that's why I didn't find myself kind of tripped up by it or confused or really even thinking about that fact, because I felt that this character was so much deeper.
Well, it's just because I loved him and Mr. Robot. Yeah. I mean, he was so much better in this, but it was just like, you know, I don't know. I needed separation for a little bit, but no, he's outstanding. This show, I couldn't believe how good it was. And there's so many levels of why I like it. The half hour thing, phenomenal. This guy, Sam Esmail, I can't give him enough credit for the chances he takes, the unique stuff he does, this thing that we just learned from Andy about the music, you know, blew me away when I read it. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah,
when he did that, you know, keep going back to Mr. Robot a little bit, like that 80s episode when he brought them back to as they were kids, but lived it through like 80s sitcoms and 80s shows. And then, you know, this show, the way he frames the, not only the frame on the scene, but the way he frames the timing and the landscape where you are, sometimes you question everything. You, even though you know, you see Florida license plates, you see the Florida, you know, everything.
It's a good point.
They make you question what they're wondering.
Yeah, are they on the moon? Are they in a virtual reality? Like, yes. That's a great point, DJ. There's a lot. And even knowing about the use of actual other scores now makes me understand the use of the iPhone framing, what it says about persistence of memory, about pop culture, about signposts along the roads of our own lives that we use to remember things and to form our own identities, and how that is commodified and how that is sold back to us and repackaged over and over. And how it is a, like an experiment, because in the show, right, they're experimenting with this drug, and they're looking for an outcome, but it doesn't matter, because whatever the outcome is, they're going to sell it. So if it's a bad one, they're going to figure out how to sell it. If it's a good one, they're going to figure out how to sell it. So really, those men are just guinea pigs. And it doesn't really, though it may be under the guise for the Julia Roberts character, I think she quickly understands what's really happening. But it's not until she's faced with seeing Walter really not even remember, you know, huge chunks of what made him even get there, that she kind of feels bad about it. But then it reflects back on us too, right? How much of it are we a part of our own cultural implosion? Our own, do we sell it all to each other and ourselves? And that's a lot of what he talks about in Mr. Robot. And that's a lot of what he talks about here. And that music thing is really kind of lighting my mind a fire of understanding why he used the cell phone framing, because that is not standard TV framing. I'll say it again. I actually wrote to Tim Goodman, said, dude, that's not correct. He didn't write back to me. I don't blame him. He's got a lot of email. But it was iPhone. And that says about what we look at, how we watch a viewership society, right?
Well,
it's just a lot. It's deep shit, brother.
Even the way you have this whole story that we just kind of described, on top of that, you have compounded in this perfectly woven way the company, then through Bobby Cannavale's character, was able to compartmentalize every piece along the way to hide everything and disguise everything and get someone who, like Julia Roberts, who was down on her shit and needed this job and could had no one to go to and was able to tuck away and had, you know, mental relationship issues. They, you know, they scouted out for that shit. Like, this was so meticulous, every little detail. And this guy, like you said, with the music, with the framing, every single piece, like we watch Game of Thrones and like everything has a purpose, usually with a phrase, like backhanded somehow, you know, through someone else. This is like every, you know, I'm sure you could nitpick. He places every book in the room, like
that's what would be going on in that scene.
Like,
yes,
definitely. Some kind of meta book that we would, you know, unless you are super into psychology, would know that, that belongs there. Like, that's the kind of shit this guy does. Yes, it's amazing.
He really has shown himself to be superb at blending the visual and story, psychological character elements together. So the fish tank has resonance and meaning, of course. That's one's kind of easy there in the fish tank. What happens? You overfeed it. There's so much stuff going on, but it's used visually as well. to show kind of the actual building they're in and the way it's constructed and how everything is open and you can look through. All of those rooms have big windows. They're actually offices with beds in them. It's strange. You know, he is really great and he gets into stuff like I think a lot of directors do. It's just he is good at conveying it to the audience. I mean, that's the thing. I think most, if not all, of people directing want to achieve that. That is why they get into it, you know? And he is able to achieve it and it comes across. And that's the sign of a great talent. And he is a great talent. And this show, I think, took a lot of people by surprise because Mr. Robot in many ways seems like he's experimenting with him, with his talent, you know? And this is the fruition of it. This encapsulated it within itself is, I mean, I'll tell you, it will be in my top 10 TV of 2018. And it's in a lot of people's top 10 because it's fantastic. All right. Andy continues. I really like the episode length. Like Maniac, I like the fact that showrunners are starting to experiment with shorter dramas and varying episode length. I'm a fan of telling the story in the time that the story that tells the story the best way. I'm a fan of telling the story in the time that tells the story the best way. I wanted to say that again properly because, Ando, this is why you're the man, bro. I totally agree with you. The episode length, I don't care how long an episode is. The only reason I ever look at how long something is if I know it's going to be really long and I don't have enough time to watch it. That's about it. Or it's like a Game of Thrones episode. I'm like, ooh, I hope there's 15 extra minutes. Or if it's a Sons of Anarchy or a Mayans episode, and I'm like, my God, this thing's 14 hours long. It's episode 2. But otherwise, I totally agree. It's like a novel. Do they say, they might say you have to hit this many pages to be a novel because they print the books and blah, 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 and there's money involved. And that's the only reason why episodes are an hour on television. So it's totally arbitrary, right? It's just, it's a unit of time and they can sell ads in it and then they can schedule something before and after it. So there is absolutely no reason why any televised, filmic, anything needs any type of time limit on it, long or short.
That's why these new formats are kind of groundbreaking because it's getting people the creativity to do what they want. Yeah. You know, if they feel like that this cut needs an extra 10 minutes, they can take it. If they feel like, all right, we wrapped up this story and we don't need to put filler in it because I got to fill an ad space, you know, so it serves a service to the art and it serves a service to us because we're getting it in its purest form.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Just like albums, whatever, one of the things that we've seen of the freedom of the digital age is that length no longer, you don't need to quantify by length, you know? Like, I mean, you have people now, musicians who release these albums, they've got like 30 songs and 4 of them are skits, right?
And like, this year, in fact, they had a wave of albums that came out. And you have to make 7 tracks to be considered an album. And like Kanye produced like 5 or 6 of them. They all had 7 tracks. Like, so it's up to, you know, however you can, yeah. I guess, just work in their considerations for these awards and whatnot.
Yeah, it's totally arbitrary. And it's really kind of silly. And I think that everything should be like that. And in a lot of ways, you know, some places like HBO, FX have kind of allowed that, you know what I mean? So to go a little longer, go a little shorter, but now Netflix and Amazon and these other places are just saying, who cares? It doesn't matter. Because when we air a sitcom with the commercials cut out, it's 23 minutes or 22 minutes long. That's not a half hour, right? When we air, you know, an episode of TV, it's between 40 and, you know, back in the day, there were less commercials, 50 even minutes long. So it's, you know, people don't know that. They don't know how long something is. So it's always been arbitrary and stupid. And I'm glad, I wonder, I'd like to know more about that. I haven't heard Sam Esmail talk about if that was something that I think Amazon just let him do it. You know what I mean? I think it just came out that way. But I'd like to hear the consent, like how that actually was decided. Because you know, they're, even though they're open and everything, there's still a company and there has to be like a meeting, right? Whereas like, are we okay with the episode lengths being whatever? Yeah, Mary checked it. You know what I mean, dude? Like,
sure. Everybody has to sign off.
Yeah, everybody has to sign off. Yeah, I CC'd that. Did you VeriSign it? All right. Andy continues. Love the aspect ratio changes as well. It definitely was not 4:3. It was iPhone portrait. Yes, thank you, Andy. I agree. Ah, but Andy says, I disagree a little bit about the ending. I think he disagrees with me. I do not think Heidi is going to run him down and they will live happily ever after. I think Heidi respects his mom enough to not do that. Walter would eventually find out what she did and Heidi has to know that. I think Heidi's happy ending was knowing that Walter wasn't completely ruined by what she did. What do you think, DJ?
I agree with him. That's how I took the ending. Like, she's backing off, and if the stuff wears off and he regains his memory, he'll find her. And I think that's a possibility for, like, maybe another homecoming.
Hmm.
You know, they find each other, and then they try to
correct
some people, help some people out, maybe fill in gaps.
Well, that would make...
Just a thought. But I definitely think she was backing off at the end.
Yeah, I think that would make a whole lot of sense. Because you have that idea and it would kind of go along with the themes of the show and just kind of their, even as you saw in their little interaction, their connection was something stronger than that, you know?
Right.
It was
everything
human.
Seemed to blow up for all the corporate, you know, everything was hidden. Like, it was like, all right, that's a wrap. So their story can go on kind of.
I'll tell you what. Esmail's, he's crazy enough to do something like this. And this is why I really like this dude. I could imagine Homecoming season 2. And he even gives it like a cheesy, like, wait a second. Like, let's see what's the something factor, the momentum factor, or something like some kind of weird 70s. Like, you know, it was like code name Omega, right? So that's what he calls it. Homecoming season 2, code name Omega. And then both Heidi and Walter become like action stars. Like, Walter remembers what happened and he recruits her to take down the company.
Dude, he's not Tarantino, bro.
And no. It's not. I'm not. Because he is actually, he has the potential to be able to actually pull something like that off and do it well. Not make it
a love story and make it like a dynasty type, like a 80s drama.
Nah, I don't think that. But I do think that he could make it into something like that. And I think that would be super awesome. That's really cool, man. I love that idea.
We should, you know, save these ideas and pitch it to his team.
We'll see, buddy. We'll see. Maybe I shall. I like that idea too, that Walter wasn't completely ruined by what she did, that's enough for her to be happy. But I don't know if she's that type of person. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe she turned into that type of person.
Well,
from all that trauma.
See, I don't think she ever was. And I think that's why in the end she found out what happened. I think that's part of the story, is that we have to remember that she put herself through school and like decided on a new career and went after it. And that's what she like. So that's why I think in the end, it was kind of showing that no matter what these forces do to try to suppress them, they won't be suppressed. And that's why I like the idea of them reuniting as an action team. Like, could you imagine like Julia Roberts and then like sneaking into the laboratory, they get a crew together. He could do that well because he's done stuff like that on Mr. Robot. Just like when you were, look, dude, if I told you after season 1 of Mr. Robot, I say, oh, there's going to be a whole 80s episode. You probably would have been like, oh, that's too much, dude. That's crazy. But he pulled it off. So he could actually pull off something that is kind of genre bending and cool. I'm all for it. We're doing it, DJ. I'm recruiting you. We're going to podcast an entire season of Homecoming season 2, The Omega Factor.
Fan fiction.
Fan
by
fiction.
Axel Foley.
Yep. Fan fiction, baby. I love it. All right. I love the show. I will have to go back and watch Mr. Robot now. Yes, you will, Andy. I can't wait to see what S-Mail does next. Me neither. Love it. What do you think, DJ? What's your
favorite? Yeah, I'm in. Anything this guy does from here on out, I'm in wholeheartedly. Like, this guy just blew me away with Mr. Robot, something I was not expecting to be nearly as good as it was. And then do this, like, he's a winner.
He is a winner, dude. I'm very excited about him. All right, what else do we got? Do we have anything else for today? I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to talk some homecoming. We're just going to talk some, you know, feedback a little bit, some promote the podcast, promote the Facebook, and just say have a happy new year. We'll see you guys next year. And that's, you know, the old little group hug type stuff.
Group hug stuff. Yep, that's right. This is the last podcast of the year. It's kind of fun. I have to say, I've never been that into New Year's Eve. How about you?
Have you been? No, like I said, if I'm not getting paid, I usually just lay low because it's, you know, I've been out.
No, I just mean the day. And I mean the idea that it was actually the end of the year. Because I am one of those pedantic people, as you know, that'd be like, look, dude, every day is New Year's. This is an arbitrary, it's good to think about it, but I always, for some reason, get kind of downerish about it.
Right, I'm Scrooge. The Jewish New Year was 2.5 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has their own New Year's.
The Chinese New Year was in September.
Right. Yep, exactly. Every day is a new day to start your today.
Hey, as long as we're up and breathing, that's the good day.
That's what I say, DJ. So see, when Christmas, I get all gooey inside, there's toys and stuff, and I just fall totally in love with the Christmas spirit. But then New Year's, and I'm always like, whatever. I actually think more so we should celebrate today as being my sister's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yep. Amy. Happy birthday, Amy. It's your birthday. All right. I'm not singing. Was that Ferris Bueller's?
I think they say it's your birthday. No, wasn't it Ferris Bueller's?
What was
it's
that?
It's my birthday too. It's the Beatles, bro.
I know, but I think that wasn't. Wasn't that in Ferris Bueller? Didn't he do a birthday thing?
Yeah.
I think he did. I think that's in Ferris Bueller.
Know. I've watched it a million times. I don't remember that.
It's been a long time since I've seen that. I should show that. Lachlan shouldn't see that until he's like in
high school. That's like crazy talk.
Yeah, that's
no
too
way
young.
You should see that.
No, maybe 15.
He's too pure.
13 or 14. Then 16 candles is the ultimate. I really think 16 of all the movies of that generation. I think Breakfast Club and 16 candles. Those two are the ultimate.
Oh, that's a classic right there.
That is a classic. You probably still see the Drifters. You probably DJ with them.
Oh, that's it. I have the hairline like them. So,
all right, we're losing the theme here. We're losing the plot.
That's it.
Thanks, everybody. This has been a fun show. DJ and I may have imbibed a little bit on our way here, and we're taking it out. Andy, thank you for the email as usual. Get in those lists. Heath and I will be convening on Wednesday. Have a safe and happy new year. Don't go too crazy. Keep it chill. Enjoy the night, and maybe I'll be less of a Scrooge about it. And DJ is going to DJ. We're announcing a contest. Whoever has the right list, DJ is going to come and DJ at your house next New Year's Eve. Right, DJ?
That's right. If you can match my list, I will come DJ New Year's at your house for free.
Oh, wow. If you can match his list. I just said the right list. This way it was arbitrary. You actually set
parameters. Well, my
list
is going to be the right one. I thought that's
what
you meant.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. This is like if we announce this, are we legally obligated now?
I'm saying, you know, just like those guys who pitched the giving away a Toyota and someone called
that's
up and
I'm
they
saying.
Gave a Toyota.
Yes. See, I don't know. Okay. All right.
We'll check
say,
with the lawyers. We'll
you
get
could
back
DJ.
To
it could be via FaceTime. Could be via FaceTime. I want to say something. You know what? I tweeted about this and I got to say, I thought of something today and I have to ask you this, DJ. If Apple is so damn smart, then when you FaceTime someone and they're not available, why does it not leave you the option of leaving a video message?
Because they're figuring out how to monetize that.
See, you're probably right. I don't understand why it doesn't do that. All right, that's my final thought of the day, everyone. Have a great night. Be safe. Be happy. Patrons, I think I'm going to be back tomorrow. I should be. I don't know. We'll see what the family's doing. I'm going to try to get something or release something or do something special for y'all. And then Heath and I will be back on Wednesday. And thank you, DJ. You know what? I want to thank you this year for being on so many podcasts and so many times I called you and putting up with delays and technical issues. It's been great podcasting with you, brother. You're awesome. Doing Gundam with you too. So shout out to DJ Tim Hines.
Appreciate that very much. It's coming from someone I admire. Yeah. And wow. I take it to the heart. You one love, brother.
Man, dude, we had a great time. Peace out, everybody. Hey, everybody. This is a little special extra that you're getting, which is I had a guest that was not able to appear earlier, but now he's home and wants to say hello.
Hi, guys.
This is Lachlan, and he wants to talk to you about Beyblade. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, so Beyblade is a thing where there's three parts, the top, the middle, and the bottom. And it's like a dreidel, except they fight each other. And it comes in different kinds of ways, like other stuff. I have two of them, and I really wanted to talk about these because I think conflicts.com should have Beyblade, and you can get Beyblade there and order different kinds of Beyblade.
But would they be Beyblade cufflinks?
Yeah.
But you could pop them off and battle people whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll
be. So you could wear the bay on your body almost as a pin.
No, like a pin, and you can pin bay on it.
Oh my god, dude, this is an awesome idea.
And you can take it off. But what I want to have is a little pocket that has a thing.
Yeah.
And when you press a button, the bay rolls out of it. Because you press a, unwaffle it, and the bay streaks down. And you're
cool. That's awesome.
Grab it. So I think that might be the end of the podcast. I know that was really short. Now my dad will speak.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good job, pal.